to make this real to you this morning. If you were the only person in this world, he would have took the fall for you. He loves you that much this morning. Amen. Like a rose trampled on the ground, he took the fall, the perfect one. The one that didn't deserve it, the one that didn't have to. But he took the fall for us.
Was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. And sin separated. The breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build in here inside. And there at the cross, you paid the debt I owe, broke my chains, freed my soul. For the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the darkness into glorious light. You took my place, laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting. And life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. You brought me from the darkness into glorious light. And there is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. The that calls us sons and daughters. We are ransomed by our Father through the blood, the blood. There is nothing stronger than the wonder-working power
Praise the Lord.
You ask my wife if I could sing when I first started. She'll tell you Skip to My Lou was the worst song she'd ever heard when I started learning to play guitar and sing. My kids don't mind it, though. Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning with you. So grateful for the blood of Jesus. I heard that song years ago and played it Wednesday night, but I tell everybody on prayer meeting on Wednesday night, there's just something about the songs about the blood of Jesus. Amen. Doesn't it just make your heart know that it was because of Him and Him alone that we're here today? You can open your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17 is where we're going to be reading from. This morning, I'm going to read out of 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 for just a minute. Then I'm going to go to that, but you can go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy if you want to. I've titled this message this Sunday morning, After God's Heart. How many of you know the Bible says that if anyone lack wisdom, all he has to do is ask? You know the Bible says that? We could use some folks asking for some wisdom in this day and age, don't you agree? Amen. I believe that with all of my heart, that all we have to do is ask God for what we need. And Him knowing what we need before we even ask, when we ask it in His name, He'll give it to us. We serve a great God, and we serve a great Christ. And this morning I want you to know that you can't have God's mind without God's heart. We can ask God all the day long for wisdom and how to live in this world, how to function as people of God in this world. And don't get me wrong, we can study this Bible and have all of our degrees and knowledge wrapped up in from 66 books, Genesis to Revelation. We could know it frontwards and backwards and upwards and downwards. We could know this word with wisdom. But I can tell you, if you don't have the heart of God to match the wisdom that He gives you, we're just clanging cymbals in this day and age. Folks, how many people have come and gone through the years with a knowledge of God, but not the love of God? How many have been turned away from the church of Jesus Christ because the church does not mirror what they claim to serve? And folks, I don't know about you, but it was the loving kindness of my Christ that led me to repentance. You remember when you experienced God? You remember when you met Jesus? Remember that time? Some of you, it was in a message. Some of you had heard this beautiful revelation of God, and you may not even remember the message that was preached or the words that were given. You know, that pastor studied a long time to bring that message forth, but you may not remember a word that he said, but I know you remember the experience that you had in the presence of an almighty God that made you say, I was once blind, but now I see. I was once one way, but I'm different now. And I know you can remember that experience, and And that for me is to give an expression or an experience of God's revelation, that it's not coming through the knowledge of God. The Word of God says that believing on God alone is not salvation, that even the devils in hell believe that Jesus is the Christ, and they tremble and they shake. Do you know that just the knowledge of God being God is not enough to save us? Knowledge is a dangerous thing. It has empowered us in this generation, in this day. Many wouldn't believe that we would have what we have in technological advances in an hour such as we are in. Folks, you can tap your debit card and pay for something. You can pull something up on your phone and pay for something. I grew up in a time, I remember the first bag phone in my dad's work truck. I remember that far back. I mean, I'm not going real far back with that, but I remember that time. And we thought that was the craziest thing. You're telling me you can call somebody driving down the road. In my mind, it blew. I mean, maybe not y'all. It did for me as a kid. But I'm telling you, folks, information is in the palm of our hands with these cell phones. I mean, Google, it'll assist you. I mean, it'll assist you when you're not looking for it to assist you. Siri chimes in a lot of conversations that I don't want her to be talking. She lets me know she's got the answer for what I'm talking about. So we have some educational influences in this time. But I can tell you, the Word of God says that in the last days that this is going to fail us. People's hearts are going to fail them for knowledge. It means you're going to know so much about things that you're going to lose hope. With all of your knowledge and everything that you know about, you're going to come to this revelation that there is nothing that can help you in this world. If you live in this world in this day and age, 2024, you know that there is no hope for anyone or anything. COVID gave a very good expression of that. Remember when COVID first came out? Everyone was hopeless. Everyone was, if you catch this disease, you're going to die. That was the narrative that was pushed. Any information that you ever got on it is if you surround yourself with people, if you gather, if you get close to someone, you're going to catch it and you're going to die. Information was spread concerning that virus. And in all of our knowledge, we cowered in weakness in the revelation that we could do nothing to stop this oncoming pestilence. You remember that time? It wasn't that long ago. We were in that place. But I can tell you, knowledge is not power. Knowledge is not power. Because God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. I can tell you, I've never been so glad to be so dumb. Amen. Aren't you glad? You know, God, I heard a quote one time said, God factored in your stupidity when he called you. I've never been more encouraged in my life that God had factored all of that in. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. That means having the knowledge, having the eloquent speech, having the ability to say and quote scripture, but not having the faith to believe and know that those things are true. That's what it means by denying its power. And from such people, turn away, exclamation point in my Bible, if it's in yours as well. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be made manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured out of them, all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse. Listen, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. That's a hopeful statement. After all that we read concerning a negative viewpoint, a negative worldview. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, mankind of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Folks, I want to encourage you this morning that we live in a time, in a day, a generation where wisdom is going to be the downfall of men. And I'm not saying that this is the first time it's happened. You can look through generations of time and you can see where great and mighty empires have fallen because of certain issues inside the ranks of that place. There's a quote that I remember that an empire that is toppled by its enemies can rebuild and be brought back to its strength. But an empire that is toppled from within is dead. Folks, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Roman Empire was the last great empire that we know historically. It was a great empire that rose to its ranks and conquered the known world. Do you know what its downfall was? When they had conquered all of the world and they had no opposition, they began to turn inwardly with their knowledge. Do you know what happened when their emperor was passed down to a parliament? They went into a democracy. They began having conversations about why men should be able to be women and why women should be able to be men. And they began to have conversations. That was what happened. They began to discuss why feelings were more important than logic. And it was in those moments that they began to vote on those things, and their laws became those things, and that was the very collapse of the Roman Empire. It was no great enemy that toppled them. It was from within. When their minds began to be busy upon what they thought was good and what they thought was right, they ran wild with the wisdom and knowledge of, and folks, to this day people quote Caesar. To this day people quote Aristotle. People to this day quote these people's wisdom, but it is in their own wisdom that the great Roman Empire fell. Folks, I don't know about you, but I'm witnessing some of that today. I'm witnessing people use their own wisdom and understanding to make laws concerning feelings and not logic. I take the Bible out of it. It's just not logical. But you go into this country which was founded, you go all the way back before the Constitution, and you see the Mayflower Compact. When those men and those women came out of that boat, they said, we will be governed by the liberty of the Word of God. That's what they said. They came out of that boat in the birth of this country, and they said, we will not have a king. We have a king. His name is Jesus. He's given us his word, and if we abide by his word, not only will we survive the coming onslaught of not only enemies, but hardships in this world, but we'll also thrive in the midst of it, because we will be people of God, and we will be God's people. Amen. That's That's how this country was birthed. And then the revolution came along, where the UK came over, the Europe decided to come over, the kingship wanted to take over the land, and they wanted to impose their religion and their government on America. And men and women of God stood up. Not just men and women of courage, men and women of God who said, we escaped the tyranny of a king who told us we must worship this way. In all of their wisdom, they decided for us that we should serve God this way and not the way that God intended. And they stood up in vigor, in zeal, and said, we will not be overcome by the tyranny of kings and tyrants. And they stood in that day and they fought. And out of that revolution, folks, the Constitution was birthed. Not a democracy. We live in a constitutional republic in America, which means that we are governed by the people, for the people. We don't have some great leader that decides what the laws are for us. We decide by the convictions of God Almighty, through the rights that were given to us in this country, how we proceed going forward. I'm not being political. I'm telling you, I taught history for 2 years to young people. And I gave them this instruction that this is what this country was birthed on. The desire to worship God freely the way the Bible demands it. And folks, that's where great liberty comes from, because liberty can come nowhere else but through Christ. But somewhere along the way, men and women get haughty, believing that I know better. I believe that I have an understanding of things in this world that maybe you don't, or maybe God hasn't thought of yet. How vain that is to make that thought. But this is Paul reaching out to Timothy, expressing, giving an understanding that in these days, these last days, these are the things that you're going to be expressed with. These are the things that are going to come upon you. And unless you stand firm in the doctrine in which you believe, which I've taught you, the truth of Christ Jesus, you're going to find yourself in bondage. Folks, you look around today, are you free? I'm not talking about just as Americans. I'm talking about as Christians. Are you free? Has someone come in and so easily beset you with the false doctrine, false teachings, not bringing the truth of God's word? Has someone told you that God said it, but it's okay to not do it? Or that God said not to do it, and it's okay to do it? Has someone come in and done that, folks, in their wisdom? Folks, we're not wiser than God. We're not. And Paul speaks against this, and he says, the word of God is the inspiration from God through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? There's no thinking that we have to do. You know, I love being told what to do. You know why? Because it means that I only have to function from here down. Isn't that great? Having somebody, I hate being the boss. That means then I have to think about something and I have to figure it out. But it's nice when someone does the thinking for you. Is there any bosses that attend this church that go, I would love to be a laborer. I'd love to just show up to work and do what I was told to do. Folks, because it takes something, some mental fortitude to be in that position. But the Bible gives us clear instruction and says, if you simply obey through faith, you will find all the liberties and promises fulfilled that my word has to offer you. Isn't that easy? Isn't that simple? But somewhere along the way, a man, a woman, somebody brought their wisdom in and thought that their opinion mattered more than the word of God. They said, we're going to start doing this. And that became tradition. And that tradition then became religion. And then people began to do it, not because of conviction, but because that's how they were taught. And when you are taught to do something and it is presented to you as the word of God, and you get to God one day because you did not seek it out for yourself, and you say, but God, I did this in your name, and this in your name, and this in your name, and Jesus looks at you and he says, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. Depart from me, I never knew you. Because you have done things in a name that is not Christ Jesus' name. You did it because you are affiliated with this fraction or this religion or this thing. Folks, there is salvation in no other name except the name of Jesus. I'm sorry. The Catholic God not going to save you. The Baptist God is not going to save you. The Pentecostal God's not going to save you. None of those things are going to save you. It's only Christ and Him crucified. It's this Word of God that breathes life. Folks, our country has been birthed and concepted here for almost 250 years. This nation. And it's been built into something beautiful. You know why it's been built into something beautiful? The way that no other countries that have had thousands of years to figure it out in all of their wisdom has come to the place it's come. Because the foundation of it was built on the Word of God. It was built on this Word. Over 250 years of liberty and freedom that stands through our Constitution. Because this Bible was written down in the very beginning. And we think that we're more knowledgeable, more wise, more capable in our thinking now. Folks, I'm 31 years old. I have nothing in comparison to over 200 years. Not just that, but since Christ's death and resurrection over 2,000 years ago, folks, this Word has been made right every time it's been opposed. Every time someone brings an infraction or a contradiction to it, the Word of God historically comes through being exactly what God said it was going to be. We're living in a day where folks, I just read to you a prophetic word that Paul wrote to Timothy. Does that not sound exactly like what we're living in this day and age? But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, one for one so far. They'll be lovers of money, two for two. Boasters, three for three. Folks, this scripture is batting 1,000. They're going to be proud. They're going to be blasphemers. Folks, you ever notice that lost people always use Jesus' name in vain? You ever notice that? You never have someone slam their hand in the car door and go, "Oh, Muhammad." Never. Never. No one go, "Oh, Richard Hawkins." Nothing. They're not used as a curse word. It lets you realize that Jesus is God. They have no desire to use any other false God's name in vain. They know exactly whose name to call upon. Folks, it is embedded in us as creatures because we come from the Creator. This is who we are. This is the nature of men. They're going to be proud. They're going to be blasphemers. They're going to be disobedient to parents. They're going to be unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Folks, I passed a sign. I was going through Biloxi, Mississippi, and I passed a sign up there concerning the casinos. And you know what the sign said? Everything you crave in this casino. Folks, we live in a time where you don't even have to drive down the street and pick up a prostitute anymore. You can just get on your cell phone and pay for her there. Do you realize that? That this world is falling to the wayside. I don't say this to be doomy and gloomy. I say this to make you aware that in all of our knowledge, we're not smart to these things. We're not realizing that there's real people out there desperate and in despair for God. And we sit here in our church seats every Sunday, every Wednesday, and we're not reaching for them. We're not calling to them. We're not ministering to them. Because we think that we know that if we just come and do this little traditional thing, that I'm going to be okay. But God says, go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel. Go into the four corners of the earth. Go from Jerusalem. Go out to Samaria and then the far corners. Go preach the gospel of Jesus. It's only through my name can they be saved. And it's only through you going and telling them will they hear. But in all of our knowledge, we figured it out. We boxed Jesus up to be exactly what we think that he is. A Sunday morning from 10:30 to
five songs and a love offering. We boxed it up. Don't, I'm not saying that we're being religious here. I'm saying if that's all you come to church for and your heart is not pricked by the power and the love and the presence that you've experienced of Almighty God in this place, and you don't have vigor to stand up out of your seat and go tell somebody about this Christ, you are missing it for your wisdom. You're missing it. And folks, I miss it. I miss it all the time. As a pastor, I think to myself, what does a good pastor have to do? How can this good pastor perform to look the way that my congregation wants me to look, to do the things that my congregation wants me to do, that they might be pleased with me? And I tell you, there's a war in me because I don't care if you're pleased with me. I want to be pleasing to God. I don't want to be wise in myself and figuring out how this church can go forward and do the. It's not up to me how it goes forward. If God don't build the house, then it's built in vain. There's a fear in me to be wise without God's heart. There should be a fear in you to know God without knowing his heart. We have the great example of this. In 1st and 2nd Chronicles, we see the life of David. I'm going to summarize it. I don't want to go all the way through it. But folks, we see the life of David coming to a close. And we know that David is a man after God's own heart. We know that. We know he's wretched. And we know he's a sinner. But we know that he loves God. And he presented himself to God, even knowing what he was, but saying, God, I'm nothing without you. And he presented himself to God because he was after God's heart. And we see at the end of his life that David comes to Solomon in a great host. And he begins to declare that Solomon, by the will of God, is going to take his place as king in the kingdom. And he has a statement that he says to Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28, 8 through 10. It says, now therefore in the sight of all of Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God. Folks, we miss that when we become Christians. When you become born again, be careful that you seek out the commandments of God. Not that you fulfill them in your own works, but that you go and seek God for what he wants for your life. That you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. Folks, when's the last time a Christian has set themselves up both in their family, in their community, and their nation for this next generation? As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal what? Heart. And with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Folks, Second Chronicles comes in. Solomon has been made king of all of Israel. David has now died. Solomon builds the temple in the way that his father had expressed him to do it. He was obedient up to this place. And then he goes into that temple and he sacrifices thousands of animals on the bronze altar before God. And that night, God comes to him in a vision. And he says, Solomon, ask me of anything and I'll give it to you. Folks, if God came right now, Jesus came into this room and he sat down and he said, children, ask me anything and I'll give it to you. What are your answers going to be? What is your response? Could you imagine the things that could be done in this house if Jesus gave us that opportunity? Think about it. Search your own hearts. Some may pay their house off. Some may put themselves financially in a good place so they could be in a financially good place to serve God's house. We have all kinds of thoughts that run through our mind that we think are going to be beneficial, even under the kingdom of God. I wonder in this moment if David's words rung through Solomon's heart. I wonder if he remembered David saying, Solomon, if you want to be pleasing to God, if you want to be a man that is used by God, you must know his heart. You must seek his heart the way that I have. I've been nothing. I've been foolish in all of my ways. But one thing I've always known, and that's how much God loves me and how much I love him. And in all things that has brought me through, it is the love of God that led us to salvation, folks. It is through that. It is through his love that his son was crucified and rose again on the third day that we might have hope. I wonder if Solomon had this moment ring through his mind. But what does Solomon say? He says, don't give me your heart, God. I want your mind. I want to know how to judge your people. I want to be cautious in how to do that. And folks, God gives him exactly what he asked for. He says, because you've asked of this thing and you've not asked of riches or lands or the death of your enemy, I'll give you wisdom to judge my people. And folks, I'm not saying that wisdom is bad. I'm not saying that knowledge is bad, but I'll go back to my first statement. The wisdom of God without the heart of God, it's futile. Folks, you can do nothing for God without his heart. Peter, in all of his zeal, told God, Jesus himself, he said, I will not forbid you to go to the cross. That's Peter's thoughts. That's Peter's ability to understand, which Jesus rebuked him and said, Satan, get behind me, for you don't know the mind or the heart of God. Peter, later, Jesus is being arrested, and the first thing that Peter does is he reaches for his sword and he cuts off Malchus's ear. In his zeal, to protect Jesus. And Jesus once again steps in and says, Peter, this isn't the way. Folks, I'm as Peter, as much of that character as any other person in this room. I am a reactionary being, just like all of us are. How many of us in our moment think that we're going to respond the best way? Every one of us. Every one of us. We're reactionary beings. That's what we are. And God knows that. He knows that we're intellectual. That's he created us. We're in his image. We're created that way. God thinks the way that we think in a lot of ways. But I can tell you, we don't have the heart of God the way that he wants us to have his heart. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. See, God is not interested in your wisdom, in your knowledge, in your capability to bring things forth through thought. God cares nothing about that because God does not move in the natural. God only moves in the supernatural. See, there was an issue in the garden. I don't know if you remember in Genesis. God said, there's only one thing you can't eat of. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember that? Which means wisdom without God is foolishness. We live in a world that tells us we have science now. We don't need God anymore. Folks, the Bible has been correct and more scientific breakthroughs than anything some atheist professors ever thought of. Every atheist professor that has come through at the end of their life, you know what they write? I have no idea if anything I said is true. And there has to be a creator. Almost every single one of them, if it's Jesus answered. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, it didn't come through wisdom and knowledge that someone preached to me. It came through a supernatural reaction of God into my heart that drew me. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing. The things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Folks, we don't have these things in ourselves, but the wisest men of all time have been those that have put their faith in Christ Jesus. Because in all of God's foolishness, it's smarter than any man. And in all of God's weakness, he's stronger than any man. Folks, how foolish do we have to be to come to this church today thinking that I've got the answer? I've got the remedy for my life. We don't. Folks, you've tried every program. You've tried every step. You've tried every subscription. You've tried everything to obtain the things that you desire freedom in. And all of them are foolishness because it's the wisdom of men. And Jesus says this. He says, if you would just come to me, all who are hungry, all who are thirsty, all who are weak and heavy laden. That's what Jesus says. It don't make sense to nobody. Why do you go to church? Why do you go to that altar? Why do you go to that prayer room when all the things are falling apart? I can tell you why. Because I went in a little kitty cat, but I've come out a lion. Not because I'm good, but because my God reigns supreme over everything and ailment this world can offer. My God has an answer for. And it's not in our own abilities. It's not in our own strength. It's in Christ and him crucified. And when I have him, I have his heart. God shows me the things that he hates, and I hate the things that he hates. And I love the things that he loves. In Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 2, it says, now take on the mind of Christ. He's given us, folks, you don't have to know how to enter into the situation. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to have an answer. Isn't that great? In America, you have to have an answer. Everywhere you turn, why is this this way? Why is this that way? You know what? It's okay to just say, I don't know. But you give me a minute and I'll go confer with my God. And I'll come back and I'll tell you what he has to say about the situation. Well, I don't know if they're going to make it. I don't know if this is going to go through. Let me go to my Christ. Let me go to that prayer cause. He'll be the one that decides if it happens or it doesn't. We can be like in the times of Elijah when all of the prophets of Baal, they jumped up and they all had an answer. Every one of them, we're going to cut ourselves. We're going to rave over the altar. We're going to bleed out. We're going to dance with all ferocity, folk. And what did that bring them? Exhaustion and tiredness and embarrassment. You know what Elijah said? Maybe your God's sleeping. The world says that about some Christian churches. Do you know that? The world mocks some of the Christian churches because they've tried to understand things in their mind. They've tried to bring power in their own ability, but there is none in ourselves. We've got to stand on the word of God. And we, like Elijah, can stand in that day and say, the God who is God will answer with fire. Folks, that's my response to people. You've got an argument with me. You have some disclaimer that says that my God's not true. At the end of the day, my God will show you who he is. I don't have to. I don't have to present myself and my knowledge and my cunningness and my ability. I don't have to do that. At the end of the day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You may have to wait 45 years to see him, but I'm telling you, one day you'll get to him and my face will be before your face. You'll remember that time that you had the opportunity. for grace. And you'll answer to God, just as every single person will. Folks, we don't have to have the answer right now. We don't have to have any kind. We just have to have this Christ. How wonderful. How comforting that he has placed no stock in us to present anything to a world except for him. Oh my God. How wonderful it is. This is what Paul wrote in Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Folks, I don't have to be ashamed of it. I don't have to be nervous because I don't know what God's going to do. Folks, you take the heart of God, he'll give you his mind, and you walk, and you just don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be fearful if God's going to show up or not. He will show up. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Folks, we're the only ones carrying the message of salvation. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in the righteousness of God it is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. God's for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. You want to know where all of these false gods and all of these other religions came from? It came from the wisdom of men who worshiped the creation over the Creator. And they formed for themselves false gods. That's what happened. You look at Buddhism, you look at Hinduism, you look at all those religions. It was because there is a nature in man that knows there is a God. No one will get to heaven and be able to deny there was a God and a Creator. The thing that happened is they denied him and his Godhead and made for themselves another God. And that's who they serve. I want to give you the last example of Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. This is what happens when you have the mind of God, all of the wisdom in the world, but you don't have his heart. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughters of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, "You shall not enter into marriage with them." Isn't it crazy that Solomon had all of the knowledge and wisdom of God, yet he dismissed it because he didn't have God's heart? His word said, in the Old Testament, that you will not take foreign wives. You just read that with me. Yet we see Solomon, who's in love with these foreign women. You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And that was the reason that he didn't want Solomon or any of his people running after these things. How important is it to do what God asks us to do? It's important. If not, it's going to lure us away into believing on or worshiping other things. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. for Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord, as David his father had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Amorites, and on the mountain east of Jerusalem. And so he did for all his foreign wives who made offerings and sacrifice to their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning these things that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord commanded. And you may think, oh, well, that's Old Testament. Folks, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is the infallible, inspired word of God. That's what it is. Solomon, with his wisdom, started doing little things in disobedience to God. The first thing that he did, Deuteronomy, it says, do not bring in horses from other countries to fortify the city of Israel. Now you think, well, that's a stupid law from God. It doesn't matter if you think that it's good or it's not good. It's the word of God. He said, don't do it. And when he brought in horses, he brought in chariots as well from other countries. It says, do not hoard up for yourselves treasures, silvers and gold. You know that Solomon was the richest king known on the planet Earth. To this day, he's still the richest because he hoarded for himself up silver and gold. You know, we just read it. The word said, don't take for yourself foreign wives, 700 wives. For a smart man, he is not a smart man. 300 concubines. And all of them led his heart away from God. The reason the horses and chariots weren't allowed to come into Israel, because God is always Israel's defender. You know what Solomon did? Now Solomon was the deliverer of Israel because of what he brought in. God was always the provision for his people. You know what Solomon did? He made silver and gold more common in Israel than any other king. It was nothing to go into Israel in that time and people have millions of dollars on the street. It was just flowing like crazy there. That's what the word of God said. God's no longer provision for them. And the wives and the prostitutes led his heart from God. You will worship no other god before me. You know what Solomon did? He built temples of other gods right next to the temple that he built for God. You say, well, that won't happen to me. Guarantee you, when Solomon started out, he said the same thing. That won't happen to me. But those little compromises, those moments that we think that I know better than God, we don't know better. History has proved time and time again that we don't know better than God. Let's not start it again, folks. This country doesn't have to fall into the sewer that we're headed towards if people of God will stand up and pray and stand on the word of God again. It doesn't have to do that. You know that? You know how many great awakenings has turned this country away from absolute destruction amongst the nations? We've had three great awakenings in this country. We could have another. It could start here. Not because we're trying to figure out the best way to get people butts in seats or our name out there, none of that. But if we just stand on the word of God and we honor him with our life, and we love God and we love people the way that this New Testament tells us to do it, folks, people will not be able to deny the power of God. It'll be like in the days of Elijah when fire finally fell. You know what all of Israel said? Our God is God. You know what happened to the Baal prophets? Those that believed on God, they chased them down and they utterly destroyed them. Now, we're not going to participate in destroying other gods. We're not going to do that. Don't worry. You're not going to have to fight nobody. God will do that. He'll eradicate. I had a moment one time when I was up in Bonifay. I was youth pastor there. I was invited to a school to preach before an assembly. I know you're thinking that sounds crazy, but I was able to come in and preach. A student led to where there would be an assembly and the gospel could be preached. And I was talking with the principal, and she said the reason that the Bible is not allowed to be in the church anymore is because the Christians agree that if the Bible is allowed in there, then the Satanist is going to be allowed to be in there. And the Buddhist is going, so instead of allowing all of them to go in, we're just going to remove the Bible. We're going to be okay. That way no one has opportunity to go in there. Do you know how silly that is? Do you know how silly that statement is from Christians to say, well, we don't want any of that other stuff in there, so we're just going to take ours out. You know what I told that principal? I said, you call whatever Satanist you want to call and let him preach next to me. We'll go toe-to-toe, and we'll see whose God is God at the end of it. Folks, I'm not afraid of what this world has to offer. My Christ is King. My Christ reigns supreme over heaven, earth, hell, and the grave. He is the victor. We don't have to worry. Folks, he's the one. My heart is his. I pray yours is this morning. Folks, if it is, if he be for us, who can be against us? Folks, I don't know how many nights David stayed in those caves, knowing that his enemy's right around the corner, but the hope of God in his heart to say, God promised me that I'd see this day come. God promised me that I'd see my day where I sat on the throne. And folks, I know that God has promised his church that we would see a great revival before his coming. And we are that church. And we may be in the caves right now, but our heart can be hopeful in saying, it doesn't matter what enemy is creeping out there in the dark, my God is God, and we will see his promises come to yes and amen. That's what 1 Corinthians said, and the promises of God are yea and amen. We're his church. We're his people. Hallelujah. Let's not be smart. We're not smart. Amen. Let the wisdom of God lead us. Let the heart of God lead us. Let's love one another. Let's love the lost. Let's love the body. Folks, people don't even want to come to fellowships because they think that their brothers and sisters in Christ detest them. That's just not true. We love you here, church. So great. I don't know that I've ever experienced a more loving body of Christ than this one right here. I don't say that because I'm the pastor here. They were like this the first time I showed up before I ever preached. They loved on us like Jesus loved on us. It was one. So thank you for that, church. Let's continue in love. I'd like to open up the altar in this time just for a short moment. I'm going to play something this evening that way. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump you up like that. I'll play something just to close this out and open the altar. Ability to think. I've not found hope. I can tell you, your hope is in Jesus. That's the only place. I told a young man, he said, I'm just searching. I said, let me make your search not go on for a long time. You're going to find it in Jesus. That's who stands at the end of truth. It's Christ. So if you're here this morning and you're just searching for truth, you're searching for clarity, it's only in Jesus. He's reigned supreme through every generation, and he's going to be standing at the end. If you're a Christian here and you've just been in desperation, and you've just been trying to figure it out, you've been running the numbers to figure out how it's going to come to pass, I just know the Lord said, just all of your weary, laden thoughts, your works, yoke yourself with him. He's going to give you rest.
sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. And I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. So take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. Oh, I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. More than anything that you can do, I just want you.
Jesus, as we just close today, we thank you, Lord. You've walked every path, Lord. You've gone through every century, God, and you hold the answers, God, to all things. We don't have to find ourselves, Lord God, as great, wise people. We just have to find ourselves being yours. Let our hearts be after your heart, God. Let us seek you, God, despite all the things that we are, God. We are wretched and we are in despair, God. But you are the God and the Redeemer of my soul. So we surrender to you today. I pray for every person that doesn't know you, God, both that are here and that aren't here, God, that are in this community, as we begin to go, Lord God, and love on people and share this precious gospel, Lord. Father, that their hearts be made ready to receive the goodness of our Lord. Touch this body, God, as you already have, with a heart of love, God. Thank you, Jesus, for them. But let us continue in love, Lord Jesus. Oh, we praise you with all of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Encourage us, God. Father, that though the hour is dark, Lord God, that joy comes in the morning. And Father, we're just on the edge of daybreak. Jesus is on his way. We love you and praise you. Bless everybody, God, traveling mercies in the time of this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, church. Thank you for coming this morning. Pray you were blessed. Looking forward to Wednesday Bible study if you're able to come. Prayer meeting as well. We'd love to have you.